right. CollaborativeDivorce.tv.
A scientific paper released yesterday claims two NASA space probes may have discovered alien microbes on Mars 3 decades ago and accidentally destroyed them. NASA failed to recognize the life form because they were concentrating on looking for something else. GM says its sales in China jumped 32% last year. Buick's did well, increasing sales by almost 25%. GM scored big at the North American International Auto Show in Detroit. Its Saturn Aura won Best 2007 Car. Its Chevrolet Silverado won Best 2007 Truck. Voting were U.S. and Canadian automotive journalists. Walmart today is launching a feel-good series of ads to combat the company's international reputation as one that mistreats its employees. Walmart is the largest retailer in the world. In the U.S. alone, the company employs 1.3 million workers. Microsoft says owners of the Xbox 360 video game console will be able to use it to see television. The internet-based system should be available before the end of the year. Lightsweet True is trading at $56.11 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is down 22 points, the NASDAQ up 2, the S&P 500 down 2. You can find more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Happy New Year, everyone. This is, of course, the first show of 2007, the first live show here on Head On Radio Network. And there's a lot to talk about. It does seem to be a new year, a new day, if you will. And Nancy Pelosi takes the gavel, the first woman in American history to be third in line to the president, the Speaker of the House, and arguably the most important position in our government after the president. So she's in charge, and she hit the ground running, doing exactly what the Democrats promised to do in their first 100 hours, to do ethics reform, to have pay-as-you-go policies. Pay-as-you-go means, in essence, fiscal responsibility. If you got a program, you got to pay for it. No more leaving debt to the future. It used to be called fiscal conservatism until the conservatives ran away from it. Other things like implementing the Homeland Security proposals, the 9/11 Commission suggested 3 years ago that are long overdue, helping stem cell research, raising the minimum wage, which is sorely needed, allowing the government to negotiate better Medicare prices, and taking the money back that we gave to the oil companies, the taxpayer money, and using it to fund alternative fuels. Pretty good stuff, and hard to argue that any of this is really controversial, though in fact I'm going to have a Republican on my show soon to argue just that. But overshadowing the first 100 hours and the Democrats moving pretty good to do what they promised to do. It's always nice when politicians do what they promised to do at the end of an election. Of course, overshadowing all of that is what's going on in Iraq. Iraq is hitting new lows, new highs, if you will, of a bad nature. 22,950 Iraqi civilians were killed in 2006. More than 3,000 Americans are dead. More than 10,000 wounded. Arguably, it's getting close to 20,000 wounded. But let's just focus on the Iraqi civilians dead for just a second here. 23,000 or so dead last year, of which 17,000 and plus were killed in the last 6 months. So that's a rate of 35,000 a year, or 3,000 a month. 3,000 a month. How many people died on September 11th? 3,000. Now, 3,000 people in the United States of America dead had a pretty large effect on our country, at least one of the largest effects dating back to, I guess, the Vietnam War. We have 3,000 dead soldiers, 3,000 dead civilians on September 11th. And if you're like me, then there's some vague connection to the people who died on September 11th. I happen to know of two people who knew the people who died. Not a real close connection, but after all, it was only one in every 100,000 Americans that were killed. 300 million Americans, 3,000 dead. Now, Iraq has only 26 million people, one-twelfth the United States population, and they're losing September 11th every month. If you look at the fact that some 260,000 or so civilians have died in Iraq, and no one knows the exact amount, but I think that's a rough estimate, they're not one in 100,000, they're one in 1,000. And indeed, one in 1,000 last year, one in 100 over the course of the year. 1%. 1% of Iraqi civilians or so are dead due to us invading. Now, I'm not saying we killed them all. No, in fact, most of them were killed in the ongoing civil war. Because the only way to stop a war, my friends, is to convince people that other alternatives are better for them. I mean, that's why people make decisions, right? They go to war because they think war will solve their problems. And they go to peace when they think that peace is more likely than war. But each of the parties in Iraq, the Sunnis, the Shiites, even our friends the Kurds, they all have an agenda. They all want territory. They all want control. And they all think they can do it in a war. Who's more powerful? Well, the Shiites have the majority, but the Sunnis traditionally have had control, and they've got al-Qaeda on their side. The Kurds, of course, have had an independent nation, really, for the last 15 years, and if we just left them alone, they'd probably still have one, and they want their holy city of Kirkuk, which happens to also be a nice oil center. You can't really blame any of them. And we're in the middle. Our troops are in the middle. If anything, at best, we delay the ongoing civil war. We dampen it down a bit. Everyone's waiting for us to leave so they can fight, take whatever territory they can, find out who's the most powerful. In this setting, there is simply no way to pacify the country. Everyone's waiting for us to leave. And so George Bush has a new plan. Increase the troops in Iraq. Escalation. Well, Mr. Bush, 3 years ago when you began this war, four years ago now, I keep forgetting this war has lasted longer than World War II, 4 years ago, March 2002, when you began this war. Actually, it'll be 5 years this March. Wow. Anyway, when you began this war, Mr. President, you may recall a certain General Eric Shinseki saying we needed about 500,000 troops to do the job right. And that actually fits about the level we had in Kosovo, as former general and NATO Supreme Allied Commander Wesley Clark has reminded us. Indeed, even Petraeus, the general that Bush is putting in to, well, hopefully not give him no bad news. The other generals were too busy telling us the truth. Abizade and others had to go. But even Petraeus has said that you need about 1 in 50 to pacify a population, about 2% of the population, which will require about 500,000 troops in a 26 million person country. Heck, even in the 6 million people around Baghdad, you need 130,000 or so. You need the same number of troops we have throughout the country in Baghdad alone to pacify it. We don't have enough troops. But even if that's the case, it might have worked in 2002. Maybe it would have worked. Colin Powell, of course, has talked about the doctrine of overwhelming force. Maybe it would have worked in 2002. It has no chance today. The Iraqis know well it's just a matter of time until we leave. The American troops know well it's just a matter of time until we leave. So they're fighting and dying for nothing. We can disagree with John Kerry about many things, but one of the things that he said that's quite clear, dating back to the war in Vietnam, is who wants to be the last soldier to die for a mistake? Well, the president has, under the Constitution, he's the commander-in-chief, he controls our troops, but the Democrats, who control Congress, control something just as important, the power of the purse, the power of money. And although no one will quite say it out loud, the Democrats understand this is their own nuclear option. There is an option to stop this war in Iraq, one that's just being whispered in the corridors of power, But I expect these whispers to grow louder and louder and louder over the course of 2007. Cut off the funding. Cut off the funding may be the only way to bring the troops home. Oh, no respectable Democratic leader is going to say it quite out loud, quite that clearly. There'll be accusations of undercutting the troops. But isn't that where we're going? Isn't that the only way to end a useless, deadly, expensive war that only serves to increase terrorism around the globe in the United States, that only serves to dampen our reputation around the world, that only serves to bring Americans home in coffins? I'll be debating the war in Iraq tonight with Mike Lane, Republican strategist, at 7 p.m. I hope you'll tune in live for that. It'll be replayed tomorrow at 2, so you can definitely hear it on the Head On Radio Network. But at some point, shouldn't we cut our losses and come on home? 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Feel free to comment. Tell me what's on your mind. It is the Week in Review. All topics are valid, so let me hear from you. You want to talk about the hanging of Saddam Hussein, the death of President Ford, amniotic stem cell research, whatever you want to talk about, give us a call. We'll be right back after this.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell. They say it's from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote, and then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found the first sign. A small, discolored hard patch of plastic on my right shoulder. I thought it would go away on its own, but it didn't. It kept spreading. And when I could no longer conceal it with a t-shirt, I knew I had to see the doctor. He said I had this early stage of mannequinism and that my only hope was to get involved, even if it was something simple. So I began reading the newspaper and instantly got feeling back in my arm. I guess you could say I'm living proof you can fight mannequinism.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. It is a new year, a new day. Are we going to get new action in Iraq? Who knows? I was just reading the Reid Pelosi letter. If you haven't read it, it's really something that you should read. This, of course, is the letter from the leaders in Congress, both Democratic leaders, the majority leaders, the Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Majority Leader Harry Reid. And the letter is to George Bush regarding his idea to put more troops in Iraq. They write that the American people said in the elections that they did not believe that Bush's current Iraq policy would lead to success. They said we need an overdue course correction. They remind him that surging forces, and that's what Bush is calling it, he's calling it surge rather than escalation, to pretend that it would be temporary, when we all know it would be virtually every troop that's left. They point out that we've tried this before and it hasn't worked, that we have very few troops left. They point out that our own generals, including General John Abizaid, said, and this is a quote from Abizaid, quote in the letter, "I met with every divisional commander, General Casey, the Corps commander, General Dempsey. We all talked together. And I said, in your professional opinion, if we were to bring in more American troops now, does it add considerably to our ability to achieve success in Iraq? And they all said no. We're trying to rely on the Iraqis, but we're training Iraqis that are infiltrated by the enemies. It's not clear who is our ally and who is our enemy," one of the many echoes of Vietnam, "because the military we're training, whether it be Shiite or Sunni, is more loyal to the Shiites or the Sunnis than they are to their country." Reid and Pelosi write, by the way, that was my comment, not theirs, but Reid and Pelosi write, quote, "Rather than deploy additional forces to Iraq, we believe the way forward is to begin the phased redeployment of our troops in the next 4 to 6 months. Our troops and the American people have already sacrificed a great deal for the future of Iraq. After nearly 4 years of combat, tens of thousands of U.S. casualties, and over $300 billion, it is time to bring the war to a close." Pretty strong stuff. The kind of stuff that actually really angers the Republicans, who don't want to hear Congress asserting its responsibility. But does Congress have a right to assert its responsibility? Senator Biden, a Democrat who I respect in many ways, thinks it's unconstitutional for the Democratic Congress to tell the commander-in-chief how to fight a war. Well, that may be true. It may not be constitutional for the Congress to tell the president how to deploy our troops, how to fight a war, whether the troops should be in Anbar or Baghdad. But it's perfectly constitutional for Congress to do what parliaments have done for centuries before the United States became a nation: cut off funding for wars. If you look at English history, if you look at the Magna Carta in the 13th century, or you look at the famous Long Parliament in the 15th and 16th centuries, you'll find that that's exactly how we got democracy in Britain, later transported to America. How did the people get a say? Well, the king kept coming to the nobles saying, "We need more money for wars." And eventually the nobles said, "No, no more money. Or at least no more money until you give us civil rights." That's how the Magna Carta started. That's how the king was forced to convene the famous Long Parliament. This is all part of British history. It's also the foundation of our rights. Legislatures have been denying executives monies to fight wars for almost 1,000 years now. Sorry, Joe Biden, I disagree with you. It may be unconstitutional to tell the president where to place the troops, but it is perfectly constitutional to cut off the funding. And although Democrats are smart, they're smart not to talk about it yet, it's all in the back of our minds. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Sarge from Mississippi, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
You know, there to tell the president where to place the troops is indeed constitutional. There's a little phrase called "We the People." And if the people say we want out of this war, then George Bush needs to bring the troops home, and the people have spoken.
Well, Sarge, I just want to make a – maybe my distinction is a little bit too subtle here. Partly, you know, as a constitutional lawyer, I try to look at all the details. I absolutely agree with you that Congress has a right to say bring the troops home. Congress has the right to declare war. They have the right to end a war. And the way to do that is simply to say no more funding for a war in Iraq. Indeed, that's how Congress prevented well, at least – passed the law. They didn't actually prevent him because he broke the law, but passed the law to prevent Ronald Reagan from arming the Contras back in the mid-'80s. They simply said no more funding can go to aid the Contras. Where I do think Joe Biden may be right, and this again may be subtle, is that once we fight a war, I don't know that Congress has the power to tell the president what tactics to use. You know, in other words, whether the troops should be in Baghdad or Anbar, whether they should storm this particular hill or take this particular village or kill this particular terrorist. Because the president is the commander in chief under Article 2. So in that, in the way he conducts a war, I agree with Joe Biden. But in the overall, whether you can have a war or not, I fully agree with you. That's in Congress's responsibility.
Well, to think about it in yet another term, it really doesn't matter whether it's constitutional or not, because this president has already violated the Constitution and should not be in office, period. So, you know, if he wants to use the Constitution, then he needs to follow the Constitution and resign, because he should be impeached anyway, because he has violated the very essence of the Constitution. So screw him and his constitutional trash. Look at what's going on down here, Mark. Just look at what's going on down here. Who is that SOB to sit there and tell anybody anything? We got people dying right here, and these SOBs aren't doing a thing about it. And I am very, very upset with the idea that this thug, this thief, this traitor will sit there and use a very GD piece of paper that he taught, as he calls it, to cover his own butt. No, sirree. I don't care what George Bush says about the Constitution. George Bush has no reason to be in office. And when I look at the people who are dying needlessly right here on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, when I see these legislators who say, I don't care, I've had it. And that goes for Democrats, that goes for Republicans. Hey, we got people being killed right here, and they are sanctioning it. And that goes for Nancy Pelosi, that goes for Joe Biden, that goes for every one of them. Before you get too involved in all this other crap, we got people dying right here, and y'all are ignoring it. Get off your dead butts and get down here and look into this thing, because this is wrong. It is wrong that the people in Phoenix, Arizona, the people that listen to Head On Radio Network are having to do what the United States government will not do. And yet, when I call these people, when I call Democrats, when I call Republicans, oh, we thought everything was fine down there. And yet, not one of them has stepped far enough out to call me two times in a row and talk to this thing. Not one of them is looking into Haley Barbour and saying, where is the money going, Haley? Not a one of them. Not even one. And I have called Bernie Sanders, and he hasn't even returned my call. And you know what? If they can't take care of the very, very people that live in this country, how in the hell are they going to take care of Iraq? How in the hell are they going to take care of any damn thing? Because they can't even take care of the mess at home.
Sarge, I respect your anger. I hear it. I know it's there. I know it's real. One of the reasons, of course, we don't have people down there in the Gulf Coast is because all our National Guard troops are in Iraq. George Bush left us with all kinds of major problems. People are dying in the Gulf Coast. They're dying in Iraq. There are also people haven't had a minimum wage increase in 10 years. There are a lot of things, a lot of mess.
Where
huge
the hell are the Democrats? Huh?
Well, the Democrats have been in power 3 days.
I don't care. 3 days, 3 years, three centuries. The thing is, when you have people who are dying and in your own country because you are not taking care of them, then your priorities are wrong. You better take care of your people first. And that's why I'm calling on the Democrats. Get busy. Find out. Hell, all they have to do is investigate where the damn money's going. That's all they have to do. And I'm calling them.
And I think they're going to do that. I really think they're going to do that.
They're going to.
You know,
they
like
better
I said.
Do it. They better do it. And they need to do it right now. They need to do it yesterday. That should have been one of the major priorities. That should have been one of the major priorities. And there's no excuse that you or Mike Malloy or anybody else can make for it. That is should be a priority. That should be a top priority. Because we have a city. We have a city that has been lost by this son of a bitch to a storm. To a storm, damn it. Not to a foreign enemy, but to a damn storm that was in the Gulf for 3 damn days. Now tell me, where is our priorities? We are spending so much damn money in Iraq when 1 month of Iraq could almost hurricane-proof this entire region. Did you know that there's a professor at LSU who has a system that would work and it would minimize hurricane damage to where it would be almost no problem at all? And yet, we would rather waste our money on a so-called surge in Iraq than we would to come down here to Mississippi, Louisiana, and take care of our own damn people. Now, look, America, we've got to wake up. We've got to wake up, because if we can't take care of our own, we are breeding grounds for terrorism right here, because there's a five-year plan, Mark. And
you know I agree with you. You know that we need to investigate Katrina. You know, I agree we need to find out where the money's going. You know, I agree we need to help the people down there.
Look, Mark,
hurricane season is coming up next fall.
They're saying 5 years, Mark. And
The next hurricane season comes in the fall. I predict before next fall, you will see...
If another hurricane hits, Mark, the people here are in such a condition that they are not going to survive 5 years. They are not going to survive 2 years. We have got to get down here now.
I think you'll find the Democrats are going to hold hearings.
Well, why aren't they talking? Why aren't they talking? Because I know
they've been powered.
Everybody that knows stuff down here, and they're not talking.
Well, I think they will. Sarge, all I can say, Sarge, is if they haven't done something in 3 months, I will be right with you, as angry as you, and calling the people as well. I think they are going to do something. I think you're going to find Benny Thompson's going to do something.
Do you know how long this thing has been going on?
Yes, but the Democrats haven't had power. Look,
I have called Democrats, Republicans. I've called everybody.
The Republicans don't care. The Republicans don't care because the people who suffered in Hurricane Katrina weren't their campaign contributors.
I'm not getting any work from them. In fact, Dennis Kucinich was supposed to call me Saturday or Sunday, and I'm still waiting on his call.
Well, all I can tell you is George Bush has left a host of major problems for everybody in America.
Hillary said, her office said, we don't care. We don't care. We're not interested.
Said we don't care. Who said
That's
we don't care?
That's what they said. They said, we don't care. We're not interested. And Kerry's office told me the same thing. The only
John
one
Kerry's
who
office?
Has made any effort whatsoever has been Congressman from South Carolina, Clyburn. That is the only one who has done anything at all. The rest of them have not. I'm ready for the Democrats to step up. They better step up, because the next step is to get rid of their butts.
Well, Sarge,
do their job.
Let me tell you, I appreciate your call. I appreciate your anger. I hear it. All I can say, and I know it hurts to say this, given that the people in Katrina have been suffering for almost 2 years now, But you have to be patient. The Democrats just took control on Wednesday at noon.
They told Mike Malloy last week, and this is true, the people here have given up on the government.
Well, I think they're going to be surprised. Again, if in 3 months they haven't taken this issue by the horns, I will be leading the way with you. Leading the way with you. The problem is there are so many problems in America left over. In Iraq, frankly, is overshadowing the other things that they were going to fix. Things like minimum wage, health care. Well, they're all important.
Important to the very people.
Well, let's talk about the people. Well, no, let's talk about it. We have people that can't afford drugs, okay, that are dying because they're elderly and can't afford drugs. One of the things the Democrats are going to do in their first 100 hours is
the
allow them to negotiate better Medicare prices, okay? We have people dying in Iraq. That's very important, the people dying in Iraq.
Yeah.
I mean, that's please understand, I'm not in any way minimizing the trouble people are suffering in the Gulf Coast post-Katrina. I know it's there. I know it's real. I will continue to do shows about it. What I'm saying is there is such a mess affecting so many American people on so many fronts. Minimum wage hasn't been increased in 10 years. Ethics. We had Republicans, congressmen, and a few Democrats like Jefferson down in New Orleans, down in the area suffering the Gulf Coast, on the dole, bribed. That's a problem. They need to fix that. They are fixing that. We've got massive deficits. So I think the Democrats are actually, again, it's only been 2 days. There's just so much you can do in 2 days. But I think you'll find, and I'd be shocked if Benny Thompson, the new chairman of the Homeland Security Committee, isn't holding hearings on Katrina very shortly. Have you talked with them about that?
Okay, I thought you said Bernie Sanders, so I called him instead.
No, Benny Thompson. No, Bernie Sanders is a senator from Vermont. He has no real, he's a decent guy on a lot of issues. His most concern is tax policy and making sure that poor people don't get rooked over by rich people. But, no, the person in charge of Katrina is Benny Thompson. He's from Mississippi. He's the new chairman of the Homeland Security Committee. That's the guy you need to call.
All right. Well, Mark, you'll have to forgive my anger, but I'm trying to anger America too, because
I hear you.
Because we've got to get angry about this. I mean, Iraq is a problem, and we shouldn't be there. And there's absolutely no excuse to even half step with Iraq. We need to get out of there, and we need to get out there now. And if Bush don't want to get out there, let's get rid of the SOB, because he's killing us. He's killing us. Mark, thank you so much, and it's good to have
your passion. Thanks for your call, and I really, in 3 months, I expect the Democrats to be investigating Katrina and doing something about it.
Well, you've got their ear.
Do it in 3 days.
You got their ear. Speak about it, okay?
I certainly will. Thanks for your call, Sarge.
Thank you.
Let me go to Alice in Humboldt County. Alice, longtime listener, how are you?
Well, Mark, I'm here in Midland.
You're what?
I'm fair to Midland. That means I'm pretty good.
You're pretty good. Okay.
Yeah, pretty good.
You know what I hear for someone like Sarge is this frustration that's been building up. We've had years of neglect for America at home. Bush is focusing on whatever he's trying to do in Iraq, getting oil or whatever, and years of neglect. And it's hitting everybody. It's hitting definitely the people on the Gulf Coast. It's also hitting people who need an increase in minimum wage. It's hitting seniors who are continuing to pay very high drug prices because the government cares more about the pharmaceutical companies than they do about seniors. So I hear that frustration. Where's your frustration right now?
It's good to have you back on.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back.
It's completely criminal. All lies. So I'm sure some people have been getting very rich over some of the of us believe that that's what it's all about. I think war is always been about money.
I agree with you. It is all about money. They are getting plenty rich. If you looked at American policy and you said, let's forget the people for a moment. The question is, what policies would most benefit the CEOs of Exxon and Mobil Oil Company? You could explain just about every U.S. policy, everything from the war in Iraq to subsidies for the oil companies to being against the minimum wage. Throw in the pharmaceutical companies, and you can explain the Medicare bill. This is a government by the corporations, for the corporations, of the corporations. And it's going to take some time to unravel. I hear Sarge's frustration. It's going to take some time. And we still don't have complete control of the government. We still have Bush. He's going to veto things. It's going to take decades to undo what Bush has done. And the poor Democrats have only had 3 days. So I'm not trying to rationalize or justify. I'm just, look, I think they've accomplished a lot just in 2 days. Major ethics reform, the first day, abolishing gifts from lobbyists. I mean, you talk about money, Alice. For the first time in American history, the Democrats have gotten a bill already passed through the House to abolish any gifts from lobbyists, any gifts, any corporate travel, any meals, trying to break the back of the people that would bribe our members of Congress. That's a pretty amazing thing, and they did it in a day. Yeah. All right, that was a good day. Let's go on to the next day. Mm-hmm. So I'm not ready to attack them yet. I think actually they're doing a pretty good job for their first 3 days, despite the fact that admittedly there's a lot to fix.
Sure are.
Any further comment, Alice?
Pardon?
Do you have any further comment to make?
I just would like to see this war over. I'd like our boys to be back.
I agree.
Then try to straighten things out here. I don't know.
We're going to have to do both simultaneously. I'm sorry?
Going to take all of us to do this.
Well, we're working hard. We're working hard. I'm certainly working hard. I'm gathering up the information. I know that activists all across the country, it's amazing. It's really the power of the Internet, the power of the blogs. I did a show on this yesterday. It's the power of ordinary people to take back their government. And it's piece by piece. It's step by step. We're not going to get it all in 3 days or even a week.
Yeah.
Or maybe 3 months. But we're moving in the right direction. I like to think we've stopped digging. And we're starting to climb out, starting to clear away the rubble, starting to climb out of this very, very large hole that Bush and Cheney and Rove have dug. And so at least we're going in the right direction. And that I'm optimistic about the new year.
Keep up the good work, Mark.
What's that?
Keep up the good work.
People have done good work.
We're all behind you.
Well, thank you, Alice. I appreciate that. I think I'm a natural-born optimist. I never give up on this country. I never give up on hope for the future. I'm looking forward to this year, 2007. I do think it will be a better year than 2006. Thank you for your call, Alice. I do appreciate it.
All right.
If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. It is the Week in Review. All topics are valid. We'll be right back after this.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen. What would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fix stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Clean up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up his house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I could do everything.
Yeah.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I want to thank my callers, Sarge and Alice. Sarge, particularly you, for your passion. I hear your anger. It's out there. There are so many people angry. There are so many Americans that have been left behind. Really, everywhere you look. Sarge is absolutely right on the Gulf victims. We're going to be doing shows on that as well as on the war in Iraq. We're going to talk with some veterans over the next couple of weeks about what's really going on there. They're angry too. They're fighting and dying for no reason whatsoever. The Iraqi civilians are fighting and dying too. And at home, people are being completely neglected. The minimum wage hasn't gone up since 1997. And you still have a lot of people working at below $7.25 an hour. That's the rate that the Democrats are going to increase it to. And it's not just children either. 70% of those earning what will be below the new minimum wage are over 20 years old. 50% are over 26 years old. For 40%, it's their full-time job working at or below what will be the new minimum wage. 6 million people, by the way. For another 40%, it's more than 20 hours of work. That is a priority and should be a priority. Allowing the government to negotiate better prices for pharmaceuticals is a priority. It's a life-saving priority for plenty of our elderly. Stem cell research for some is a priority. I'm very pleased by the recent news that amniotic stem cells, the kind that are in amniotic fluid, may do wonderful good for people. Obviously, science should dictate this. And if that's the best cells to use, terrific, let's use them. But if embryonic stem cell research, if that's the best way to go, I'm okay with that too. These embryos are not going to become human beings. There's hundreds of thousands of them just sitting in frozen lockers waiting to be destroyed. It saves lives. That's another priority. Every time I look at Michael J. Fox, I'm reminded what a priority it is. Homeland Security, another priority. Heck, I've been talking about Homeland Security since my very first show in June 2003, which was on Homeland Security. All the ways in which we're in danger. Our ports are unsecure. Our nuclear and chemical factories in America are not secure, even from a Timothy McVeigh-like truck bomb. If we really want to stop September 11th, how about a little defense? The 9/11 Commission, whatever you think of it, gave some very strong, powerful ways to protect America from terrorism. George Bush, for whatever reason, hasn't begun to implement them. The Democrats will pass that in their first 100 hours. Student loans. Now, yeah, and if you're not a student, this may not seem like a priority, but let me tell you it is, because education has always been equal opportunity, the way that America can live its dream. You can't have the American dream without equal opportunity, without a chance for everyone to go to college. And in a country where if your legacy, if your father went to Yale and has lots of money, was president of the United States, you can go there, no matter how good a student you are, as George Bush found out. And let me tell you, that kind of rankles me, because I got into Yale based on merit, not based on my daddy. In a land where we have affirmative action for rich, white, privileged people, we need to look out for those who ain't so rich, but are just as bright lights. And student loans, that's a priority too. Investigating the government is a priority. Investigating Katrina, finding out where the money went, investigating where our money went in Iraq, billions of dollars lost. Investigating the presidential denial of civil liberties. Just this week, now George Bush, having monitored all your phone calls, now he wants to read your mail without a warrant, outside the Constitution, outside the Fourth Amendment. Does the Bill of Rights mean anything to the President of the United States? Nah. Nah, he doesn't treat the Constitution with much respect. The Fourth Amendment says the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized, quote unquote. Now, what part of don't read our mail does the president need? If there's a reason to read the mail, if you have a warrant, if you go before a judge, if you think that a terrorist has written a letter, then by all means read our mail, read our emails. But get a warrant first. That's the American way. I think the Democrats are going to be investigating that too. There are so many things to investigate. Just the corruption in Congress that the American people have cited as their major reason for voting for the Democrats. Ethics reform. Fiscal responsibility. What used to be called fiscal conservatism. The idea that we shouldn't be laying all this debt on our grandchildren. There is a lot for the Democrats to do. I've got other things I want the Democrats to do, but I'm willing to wait 3-6 months. I mean, I'd like to see a hate crimes bill passed, frankly. But I'm willing to say, even though people are dying from hate crimes, that's not the priority. I can wait 6 months or 9 months, even though, yes, that's important too. I'd like to see us have more Arabic translators and not kick out gay people from the military. Okay, we can wait 6-9 months. The first focus has to be on the people who are suffering. And all I got to say is just have the slightest bit of patience. They can't do it all in 3 days. I guarantee you, Nancy Pelosi knows she's on the clock. Heck, people are already talking about the elections of 2008, talking about who's running for president. That's premature, my friends. Let's focus on 2007 and all we can accomplish in 2007. I think we can accomplish a great deal. And if George Bush vetoes it or the Republicans filibuster, then let's then draw out the anger. Let's draw out the marches. Let's bring out the passion of people like Sarge. Let's march in the streets. Then it'll be clear. The Democrats will pass a bill to help America. Bush will threaten to veto it. Republicans may filibuster it. And then we need the marches. We need the anger. So keep your anger. Keep your anger. You're going to need it. Dave from California, welcome to the Inside Scoop. Dave, are you there?
I like very much what you're saying today, Mark, and so I'm calling you a bit late, but I think the real danger that's confronting this country and the world, for that matter, is based right in our own White House. And how really harmful and dangerous they are, I don't think most of Congress realizes. I think they do.
I really do. I know the Democrats realize it. Nancy Pelosi was very strong in her letter. I mean, already within 3 days of taking power, she's saying, you may not get the funds. You will not get a blank check, she wrote in her letter. Now, that's a pretty strong thing for, the president insists he can do whatever he wants. And I think that you'll find at least 90% of the Democrats behind her, if not 95%. And even Republicans, you will find them saying, except for people like John McCain and a renegade Democrat, Joe Lieberman, except for those two, even Republicans are saying, Mr. President, maybe you want to think again before you send more troops to Iraq. I think Congress is getting the message.
Well, if I were writing that letter, it would be a bit more harsh. I would be saying,
I'm sure it's true.
You lied us into a war. It's over with. Well, only out now to prosecute the criminals that have done this to this country. I think that's the message that I'd like to be hearing, not the don't count on us for sure type of tone.
I just think they need, there needs to be a slow escalation. They've been in power 3 days. I think Nancy Pelosi actually is playing it right by the book. I hear the anger. You have it. Sarge has it. Alice has it. I share your anger. But sometimes you have to sublimate your anger and find the best strategy. And I think the best strategy is exactly what Pelosi's doing. She's saying, we'd like to work with you, but we're not giving you a blank check. We want you to think again. And then you ratchet it up. You start there when he says no. Then when a supplemental bill comes, you say, well, you know, we're going to investigate it. We're going to find out. We're going to have hearings. And then you get the data in the hearings, and then you use it. It's just all part of a ratchet-up strategy. Because you got to remember, the people on the left, the Democrats, we've been feeling this way a very long time. But we just got the middle. We just got the middle to support us in November, and we don't want to lose that middle. And so I've always been – and you know, I've had this argument with you and with listeners for 3 years now. I've always been sort of the practical one, trying, as angry as I get, trying to say what is the best uses of our anger. And like I said, I'm hopeful for 2007. I really think that we're starting very slowly to turn this country around, and I think we'll do it.
Now, that optimism is appreciated. You know, I'm feeling there's a hope, too. It just may be these Democrats will wake up and deal with the reality that we're up against.
Look at the fact that they've already passed the House with ethics reform in 1 day. Now, again, there's 20, 30, 50 other priorities, but that one was there. That was a priority. I'm sick of the corruption. I'm sick of the bribery. I'm sick of that in Congress. And in 1 day, they passed it. Some things may take more than a day, but I feel like that they're doing good. Step by step by step, inch by inch, I think they're doing good.
Do you think they'll get rid of the trick voting machines for us?
I think they will. I think Rush Holt's bill will become law in this Congress. I really do.
Thank you, Mark.
I really do. With paper receipts and the whole bit. Now, again, if it doesn't happen, Dave, I will join you and Sarge and everybody else in loudly screaming and marching on this Congress. But I think it's going to happen. I really do. Thanks for your call, Dave.
Thanks.
Before I close, I just want to talk a little bit about the hanging of Saddam Hussein. A lot of you wrote on the blog really, really good stuff. I don't have time to go through it all, but I encourage everybody to go to the entry on January 3rd, the hanging of Saddam Hussein. I think you said it exactly right. I'll just repeat it on the air. I think Madeline from Kansas, Madfuk, said M-A-D-F-U-Q is her signature, said it exactly right. The trial and hanging of Saddam was a convenient photo op for the Bush gang. Saddam was killed, and all that he could have revealed was killed with him. The Kurds were not happy the crimes against them were not addressed in Saddam's trial, and I can't blame them. Madfuk writes, I would rather have Saddam taken to The Hague and all the crimes associated with him and those who put him in power be exposed to the whole world. Unfortunately, the USA would not have come out of that being done without egg on our face, and the current regime's complicity would have been exposed as well. My thoughts... How convenient. Well, Mad, I have to agree with you. That is exactly on point. That is the reason why they took Saddam for a relatively minor crime that he committed, responding to an assassination attempt with very strong force. I don't support that, although I wonder how George Bush would respond to the same thing. And let me be clear, I have no sympathy for Saddam Hussein. I agree with Vicky. I'm certainly, there's part of me that's just pleased this vicious dictator is dead. No tears for Saddam Hussein. But process matters. The trial matters. We could have gone 6 more months. We could have gone 1 year. Better to expose all that happened, all of our support for Saddam Hussein, not just that he gassed the Kurds, but where he got the gas. He got it from France. He got it from Russia. And yes, he got it from the good old United States of America. Let's show the pictures of Don Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney shaking his hand. Let's expose the past. If we don't expose the past, we're never going to have a chance to learn from the future. So Saddam Hussein, it could have waited a little bit longer for a full trial. Lastly, and I don't have much time left, just to mention on Gerald Ford, while I will never forgive him for pardoning Richard Nixon, I think that was an awful, awful thing. I think it's very important for the President of the United States to learn, as Richard Nixon should have learned, that he's not above the law, even though Nixon thought that he was. I should say this, though. When you compare Ford to the later Republican presidents, Reagan, Bush 1, and Bush 2, he actually, compared to them, was a pretty good president. He was not near as radical. He didn't divide us on the basis of religion. He was willing to support the idea that we're all in one country together. He reached out across the aisle. Gerald Ford, if you compare him to his successors, would probably be considered a liberal today. So Gerald Ford, rest in peace. That's it for the Inside Scoop tonight. Debate on Iraq at 7. Replay tomorrow on the Head On Radio Network at 2. For now, this is Mark Levine signing off.
Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey, hello, everybody. Good to be with you today here on the Guy James Show. I guess all the switches are thrown, buttons pushed, levers, whatever needs to be done. I guess we're up and running, and that's a good thing. Welcome to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Doggone glad to have all of you with us today. And if you haven't been with us before, of course, this is a talk show. And if you don't like politics or current events, why, better go over someplace else. And like I always say, if you're a diehard neocon Republican and you're listening today, before it's over with, you're going to think I'm the devil. You're going to think I got horns and a tail, a forked tail. You will, I promise you. You can call us, 866-546-5254. Love to have you join the program today, and I expect you to. 866-546-5254. This is a great day for America. This is a day we've been looking forward to for 12 years. And I can't tell you how happy I am about it. I know there's a lot of work to be done. I know we have to keep our Democrats' feet to the fire. I know we'll be disappointed with them sometime. I hope we're happy more than we're sad with our new Democratic Congress. But this is a great day for America. There's little question of that. It's a great day for the world. Take the congressional power away from these damned Republicans that have been in charge for 12 years. It feels so good. I got to see a little bit of Nancy's speech. It was very good. And I wouldn't worry too much if I were you. We were talking earlier. She seemed so conciliatory and nice and happy and all that sort of thing. And just you wait. Just you wait. You know how Tom DeLay was. Well, Nancy can get down in the trenches when she has to. And now that she's got control, I believe she will. I think she'll do well. And I also very much appreciate this day, the historic significance of it, a woman being the Speaker of the House. It's long overdue. We've been long overdue for a female president, vice president. They've reached as high as Secretary of State twice now. One of them was competent and one of them isn't. But it's a great day. It really is. It's a great day for ladies everywhere. I'm very proud of the fact that a lady has been elected as Speaker of the House. I was talking to somebody the other day. Hell, I think we should have had a lady president 150 years ago. I don't know why we never have. But it's a good thing. And the reason it's a good thing, it shows progress and fairness. And after all, besides being called liberal, I am progressive, and you are progressive. I'm liberal. I'm a liberal Democrat first, and then I'm progressive, and that's progress. Bringing a lady as Speaker of the House, and I couldn't be happier for Nancy Pelosi. I think I hope it works out great. Hope it works out well for the party. And like I said, it's a great day for America. 866-546-5254. If you'd like to share your thoughts about the Democrats taking over the House, the Houses of Congress, be sure and let me know. There's a lot to talk about today. And one of the strangest things that I wanted to speak about for a moment or two is this John Negroponte stepping aside. You know, he's the top spy in the country, and now he's going to be number two as Secretary of the State. And Secretary of State, he's going to be the Deputy Secretary of State or Assistant, whatever the hell they call it. National Intelligence Director. Now, that's a step down. It is a step down. And why are they doing this? Well, I've thought about it. Negroponte, a guy with a very tarnished background, a guy that, frankly, I wouldn't want anywhere near me, a man who has no... There's no justification for having him in the job that he's in. He should not be in the government of the United States, and though there are many